Welcome back again to the Pride of Detroit podcast, the PODcast, for all your Detroit Lions news, analysis, opinions, and fun facts. PrideofDetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter. Find us on Facebook, Pride of Detroit. Back in here again for the PODcast, the podcast. That's why we call it that. I'm Chris Lemieux at Malkovich Plan, writer and editor for the International Gibberish Desk here at Pride of Detroit. Joining me, as always, Ryan Matthews, the fantasy overlord and guru and copy editor.
I never miss a podcast.
He has not missed a podcast in a very long time. Ryan underscore POD for his Twitter. And that other voice is Alex Reno, finally back with us after just a long hiatus.
I'm back. Can we also sing happy birthday to Ryan Matthews right now?
First off, Alex underscore Reno. And then, yes, happy birthday to Ryan Matthews.
Thanks, guys.
We decided
on a podcast a long time ago that singing does not come off well on the podcast.
No, we try, and we keep failing. So we're just not going to do it. We're just going to roll along.
But you know who can sing, Chris? Who can sing?
Our guy, Trill Ballins, and I'm going to have to try to, like, pander to him and, like, tag him in the podcast just to say, hey, Trill Ballins, pay attention to us. Because I love Trill Ballins. He's a great guy, and he's like one of those few big, like, weird accounts that follow me back because he insists on following back a lot of people. He's a great dude, and I should probably, like, actually do more than just favorite and retweet his stuff because I'm just inherently, like, shy about it. But he's cool, he's awesome, and he did what I think a lot of us have wanted to do for a while, which is look at Darren Revell's tweets and decide, you know what? I'm going to put these over instrumentals of, like, popular soft rock songs and just sing. Sing out the tweets.
I've only heard a couple of them, and they're all top-notch work.
Well, let's give the audience here a little listen to what we're talking about.
Congratulations to the Philadelphia Stubbs on the number one pick. Even for you, this is awful. Delete your count. Who did this? Yeah. A lot of noise over.
Beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
It's good stuff. I definitely agree with Alex, though. I think it's even best when he starts singing the replies.
Yeah. Like I played two in there. One of those was with the replies. The other one is not. Why is this funny? Can we explain why this is funny to people who don't understand why making fun of Darren Revell's tweets is funny?
Mostly because he's a complete sellout, and also because he's a.
You're going a lot harder than I was. I was trying to be diplomatic about it, but you just went there. No, like Darren Revell, like what was that one thing he was doing before the Super Bowl? Showing him doing like months. There was like an ESPN thing of like Darren Revell. Here's how I tweet during the Super Bowl.
And it's just him
having a bunch of like pre-saved facts about various brand minutiae that he's had saved for like months. And he's just getting fired up as he's tweeting out like, you know, oh, hey, you know, Heinz paid $50 million for 30 seconds of ad time or something. He's just like, yeah. And he actually high-fives the camera at one point, I think.
It was literally the worst video you could ever watch on the internet.
It was very bad. I think the best part was he had like a piece of like printer paper that had a list of things that he wanted to make sure he got to. And you just saw like throughout the length of the video, him like scratching these off, like on a to-do list. It was just a disgusting film.
I mean, I've got nothing against him, but this at the same time, like I think I'm disgusted by it for several reasons. One, I love sports and business and all that kind of like weird intersection and what it does, but it's such like it's so far in the sycophantic slide of let's just celebrate what these brands are and what they're doing that just comes out as being just, I don't know. It feels like it's completely just out there. Like, as you said, sell out is probably a good word.
I think he's just a very, like, not self-aware person, and he doesn't realize how weird he is.
Who enjoys sports this way, though? Like, I mean, I love talking about, you know, deals and labor and everything in sports, but no one is sitting. If you told me, hey, let's enjoy the Super Bowl by, you know, tweeting about random facts about, you know, sponsors or something, I would say that sounds like hell. I'd rather watch the game.
Yeah, it sounds like the absolute worst way to continue to, like, consume sports is just have it strictly from a financial standpoint. But my favorite Darren Revelle thing is him getting crossed up by Kristaps Porzingis, because the video is so great if you can find it. But you should definitely check it out, because it looks exactly like somebody who strictly looks at sports from a business standpoint. That's what it looks like to be on a basketball court with an actual person who is athletic. He has, like, the worst posture. His, like, shoulders are hunched over, and he just looks like a damn fool. And Porzingis kind of – it looks like he's just like, who is this guy, and why is he here?
The other thing about Revelle, too, is just some of the things he says, too. Like, he just – it's one of those weird, like, beyond neoliberal. It's basically like, if the market says it's right, then it's right. And you can't, like, you know, just, hey, if it makes dollars, it has to be good. Like, it's just a very simple way of looking at the world that he employs.
Well, that's somebody who has prescribed the, you know, the point of view that he has, where he watches sports through the lens of it strictly being about business, so.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's disgusting, filthy human being, and I love what Trill Ballins did.
And I was going hard.
Darren Revelle actually did, where was the, I'm trying to find his reply now, Darren Revelle actually did congratulate Trill Ballins, because, you know, Trill Ballins has gone viral with this thing, which means that Darren Revelle, butt sniffer that he is, has to come over and, like, be near the thing, even when it's mocking him. And he was like, I can't find it, but it was basically like, good stuff, Trill Ballins.
He had to. He was in checkmate. And he couldn't do anything else other than, yeah, prop up Trill Ballins for his work.
I also like how Deadspin described Trill Ballins as Internet Man in their headline.
He and a fan since 2009 are, like, two of my favorite weirder, like, sports accounts out there. There's a bunch of, like, political weird
Iron
Twitter.
Ghazi.
Iron Ghazi's pretty good. He doesn't tweet as much, but Iron Ghazi had the famous map of the United States where he puts, like, all seven continents inside a map of the U.S. And it's like, look how vast our great nation is. And then Fan Since 2009 is, like, a super, like, Philadelphia fan who... Does he I think Fan actually, like, does some work in, like, India or Bangladesh somewhere, where, because I keep seeing, like, these, you know, Southeastern Asian looking kids, like, trying to drilling themselves on English, but it's all stuff like fire Sam Hinkie or trust the process,
oh,
or
God.
Chip Kelly go back to college. And he puts out those videos, like, nonstop, so. Point is, there's no one for Detroit for that. We need to find someone. We need to recruit someone to the cause.
Somebody should step up. I'd appreciate it.
Really would. I feel sometimes Detroit fans, we're a little, I don't know. I'm not.
You don't want to say too serious, do you?
I'm not trying to say too serious. I don't know if self-aware or self-sensitive is kind of the word either. But I kind of notice it, too. Like, I try to be light on Detroit, and, you know, sometimes it feels, when someone takes a swipe at the city, I feel impinged.
That's and then the right we get, word. We get, yeah, and we have, like, people in the comment section to kind of, like, give us crap if we're, like, not being serious at all sometimes. So I feel like even as Pride of Detroiters, like, we kind of have to check ourselves and...
Stay but I don't serious. Want to sell out, so, you know, and we're yeah. I think to the comments credit, we are training our repeat listeners. We don't usually have people who are, like, I have people send me angry emails every now and then, but I'm not going to read them.
Because I think even, like, right when Jeremy took over, too, I think he was getting from somebody for, like, trying to be funny and stuff or something.
I remember, like, No, I remember, because I think, what was it, back when I actually posted in the comments, someone told me, it's like, you need to move on to do political writing, because, you know, this is, you're not serious enough for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, we got a lot of old Lions fans, I feel like, that read Pride of Detroit.
Grizzled.
I love all of you guys. By the way, this is Ryan speaking. I write the fantasy articles, so I'm a big fan of everybody at Pride of Detroit.
And in no way am I hating on anybody.
Where did this turn into crapping on ourselves? Like, I don't know why we're going this way. We really have nothing a lot to talk about, but let's take just a really quick break, and we'll come back and talk
something.
Yeah, something. We're going to talk some Lions on here. We need a second to regroup and think about it. This was kind of our getting our toes in the water. All right, guys, we're back in here. Taste of the Lions is going on tonight.
I'm not there. I heard tickets were expensive.
Apparently so. I'm seeing pictures of, like, this has become a weird big event for the Lions. Like, I'm seeing pictures of, like, you know, they got the Mid-American Conference commissioner is there. Kellen Winslow is apparently in there.
Is Kellen Moore going to be there?
I don't know about Kellen Moore. Marvin Jones is there. Well, of course he is. He's a Lion, so.
That's good. He should be there.
Glover Quinn's.
Do you have any discount if you're a season ticket holder?
I don't know. Is this a big thing? I've never gone to Taste the Lions, but it just.
I know Schnard from the comment section, like, makes it a point to go every year, and then he'll post in the fan post section about, like, his experience and stuff.
But it seems like it's turned into a really big and just a really fun thing.
Food, man.
Food brings people together.
It does.
The Lions, not so much.
I know Glover Quinn was there, though, and I know Glover Quinn's also saying that Darius Slay is going to be a top 10 corner in the league right now.
He already is, I think.
Already is.
He said he just
Which
needs
he is.
He said he needs to. What he said he needs to intercept the ball more. Well, they need to throw the ball his way more then.
Yeah, that's kind of the dichotomy of Slay, though, right? Like, you know, 2 years ago it was big play Slay making interceptions, and then everyone's like, okay, maybe don't throw the ball to Slay's way and then shut down corner time for him.
Yeah, it's hard to intercept the ball when Aaron Rodgers throws your way either zero or one times because you're completely locked down James Jones.
He had that side of the field in a box.
Yeah, he made James Jones his
for lack of a better word. You've come back lit. I like this.
I was gonna say it's been a while since Reno's been on the podcast, but now we do censor those things.
Now,
so Chris
now,
has a lot of work
now
ahead
that
of
he's
himself.
Finally come back after the most important part of the year. We needed Alex, which was during draft season. He's come back for the dead of the off season now.
I kind of wanted to avoid draft season. Sorry, guys. It was just too much for me.
Yeah, no, nope. you were very busy a lot of that. And now you face an off-season where you have to keep writing for the Free Press about more draft stuff in May.
I sure do.
Don't stop. The hustle don't stop.
Hustle never stops.
This ain't no side hustle for Alex Reno.
Just part of the grind, guys.
Grinding all day, every day.
Since we don't have a whole lot to talk about, and Jeremy's not here, I think one thing that we can talk about is another draft that might be coming up within the next couple of months for you.
Was that
the Pride of Detroit fantasy football?
Yes, we do need to talk about that. Before we do, I just want to make one quick note about a former Lion, Javid Best, who was a former Lions running back. When was he drafted? 2010? He was a first rounder.
Yeah, they traded back up to the first round to get him with like the 20 something.
Right. Yeah.
Fifth, maybe. I think it was the 2011 or 2010.
He only played 3 years in the league? Really? I'm trying to remember Javid.
Concussions, man. Concussions.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, all those concussion problems. Yeah.
He had that really bad injury at Cal.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, he got knocked out. He, like, literally got knocked out.
Yeah, but he's apparently coming back on the field, not for the Lions, but he's going to be there in Rio. He's
St. Lucia or something?
Oh, actually, for St. Lucia, which is, where is St. Lucia? That's one of those Caribbean islands, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the Antilles.
What is he playing?
Track and field.
Yeah, he's trying to make the Olympic team for St. Lucia because I think his father was born in St. Lucia.
Is he doing the 100-yard dash?
I have no idea.
I like it. This is that attempt by athletes who can't make the American team to like jump to the country which one of their parents were born, like Kyrie Irving playing for Australia because he can't make the USA team.
I mean, what else are you going to do there? That's all right. Like, but it, that's fine. You get to participate in the Olympics, you know?
That's great.
Oh, yeah. We're all going to be rooting for Javid Best. Everybody wants to see him.
Yeah, sure. Sure. I love watching. My family's always loved watching track and field. I got to go to two Olympics because my dad had, like, connections with track and field media groups. Like, I love watching this stuff. So I think he's going to do the, I'm reading here Best was the California state champion in the 100-meter dash when he was in high school. So he'll probably be trying that again. And, I mean, why not? You're still eligible to go to the Olympics, and, you know, you're not going to get paid much for it, but, you know, why not? You're in your 20s. You get to go to Rio. You get to run in a place. You get to be in front of cheering thousands again.
Yeah, and he's probably not going to make the USA team, so St. Lucia was probably the way to go for him.
Yeah, and I mean, like, what else is St. Lucia going to do? Like, if they, like, they probably are struggling. You got to imagine a place like St. Lucia. It's like kind of like, okay, do we have enough people for this sport? Okay, great, just throw it out there.
Honestly, this was the first time I've heard of St. Lucia, so that speaks.
Well, I knew it was a Caribbean island. I just couldn't remember, like, where. It's either Caribbean or it's, like, you know, Southern Pacific, like, you know, like one of the Polynesian islands or something. But what were we in before we went off on the Javid Best? Oh, right. I'm sorry, Ryan. Since you're here,
we
fantasy.
Totally went off on
no
a
fantasy. Pride Detroit no, Fantasy fine. League. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, we had the one quick note. Speaking of quick note, just the Javid Best moment from the Monday night game against Chicago.
Oh God, yes, yeah.
Yeah, he will forever be remembered for that. Was it like an 80-yard run?
Yeah, that was great.
He was really good. Like he was fine. It was the health issues, really.
Yeah. I'm wondering whether or not so that like one Monday night game was what kind of sparked maybe national, I guess, or not national interest, but at least like ESPN's interest in getting more like nationally televised games for the Lions, maybe on like Monday night. Because probably, that game was like so hyped, especially it being in Detroit and facing the Bears, and it was a really good game. It was entertaining. And,
yeah.
Yeah. I think that win made us go to 5-0, too.
Well, that was the 2011 season that happened because that's when, you know, Matt Stafford suddenly went on that insane tear. That was his best year, right? 2011?
Yep.
And, you know, Calvin Johnson's suddenly established, you know, been in the league for about 5 seasons now. He's known as a face. Did they have Sue at that point? I don't.
Yeah, he was drafted.
Yeah, they had Sue. Like they, I think, you know, that's when people started to realize, hey, you know, the Lions actually have some really good talent on it. Let's just throw them out there.
And imagine if Stafford didn't play, like, was it like 5 weeks in a row throwing with a glove, too? Like, he could have been even better that year.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It was that 2011 team was really good. It was a decent team.
Want to make sure Javid Best got his due. But anyway, so the Pride of Detroit Fantasy Football League. We should definitely have like a staff one, but I'm wondering if we can get enough interest to maybe like put together a community one.
Well, if you're listening to the podcast, let us know. Let us know in the comments or send us a tweet or something. If we're still trying to figure out the Pride of Detroit Fantasy League. We want to get it up started soon. We've been pouring a lot of effort into it, which is to say that it's minimal, but that's better than most of our other insane ventures at this point. So, like, it's had marginally more effort put into it than our Lucha Underground spinoff podcast we've wanted to do. We'll just put it that way.
Ooh. And there's been a lot of interest in
that. Speaking
back
to the Fantasy League, I think in the past, Sean has done, like, a community thing, like, with the top posters or something. Because I was in it last year, even though he let Jeremy take over the site. So I don't know. Obviously, Jeremy doesn't really care about fantasy football, so somebody's going to have to take over for that or something.
We're still going to make him be commissioner or something. But yeah, like, I don't know. We're going to probably – what I think what's probably going to happen is we're going to go around the staff as is constituted right now, because this podcast tends to be a little mostly us, but we're going to see, like, you know, if Kent wants to join in, Mike – Andrew Cato, aka Morgadoo. We're going to try to like go around the staff and Kyle, which see get find out if they're going to be in, and I think we then just what plug holes from there.
Maybe
so we
yeah.
maybe take like applications from people about wanting to join the fantasy league, like just you know have them write some kind of prompt or have them like send us some crazy what their favorite X is or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, something to pique our interest and make this and kind of just have a drawing of the best most weird Lions fans out there to join us in the Pride Detroit Fantasy League, if anyone.
I just want everybody to go to at Detroit on Lion and just pester Jeremy until he has to be a part of this thing. So if Please. You're listening to this right now, make sure you get into Jeremy's mentions.
Yeah.
And let him know that he needs to be a part of the Pride of Detroit fantasy football culture.
I should probably reach out to some of the other weird Lions fans I know. Like, maybe I should look at Alex Stahl, who is on Twitter, and I know he probably listens to a little bit of this stuff. Lethal Sacks. See if he wants to jump in. Like, just because I want to make sure that whatever Ryan is going to end up doing, because he's going to have to do, like, weekly updates on this. Like, we need to make this really fun.
This is going to be another chance for you to become fully immersed in the Pride of Detroit culture with some fantasy football. And who doesn't love fake football?
It's fantasy football, but not as we know it. Like, I think that's kind of the big thing, just because we don't want to have people who are just going to complain about how their fantasy league did. We want to find people who can, like, spin weird stories about their fantasy team or just... Again, as we first brought this up, just the idea of being the anti-fantasy football league, where we're just doing weird stuff every day.
Yeah, just take it and put our own little spin on it.
Not taking it serious at all.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to go to Greektown, though. I don't think we're going to have the Greektown draft, though.
Oh, man.
Unless we can make it work, but, I mean, if we're including people from the community, I think that's going to start getting a little hectic there.
I also have a hard time believing we're not going to be taking it seriously after what transpired last year during the playoffs.
Tucson. Hold on, but that was money on the line, though.
There was a briefcase on the line. That was money in the bank.
Not my money, other people's
money. We have to like not do the tournaments up until the very last week and just bet all $50 on it.
Well, Jeremy said if the FanDuel thing goes through again, there will be another $50 that will be spent on one wild weekend of playoff football.
But that was still funny though. Like I got some use
it
out of that.
It was not funny at all for me.
It was funny for me, but again, I'm the guy who laughs while the Lions
lose.
The
most for it. All right, let's move on.
I've got nothing else. Like
questions?
We do
just
have
get in the mailbag.
Yes, let's take a quick break here. This, as you can imagine, is a lot shorter of a podcast this week, but it's fun. It's a little more fast paced. I feel so. We're gonna jump out of here for a second, come back, and it's mailbag time already. We've got actually that's the one thing we've got a lot of is a lot of questions. All right, into the mailbag very quickly this week. Wow, it's we've only been going about 25 minutes, but that's cool. We're going to make this really quick for y'all. I think some of our podcasts in the off season are going to be like this, just really quick, get them out here, unless there's some like big news to really talk about in the NFL or otherwise, and there just hasn't been this week.
Let's take your questions.
Take your questions. As always, a proud Pride of Detroit tradition. By tradition, we mean we've been doing this since, what, episode 3? Something like that?
That's great. Traditions have to start somewhere, though, Chris, you know?
They do. Let's go around the place. Let's go to Tingling in the comments. With the new touchback rules, do you think Sam Martin will be kicking short with all those special teams aces we now have ready to tackle the returner?
I think we talked about this a little bit on a podcast before, didn't we, with the new touchback rules?
I think we did a little bit. I know I wrote up, and I thought the new touchback rules would just result in more touchbacks, but...
Did they move it closer to the end zone?
No. It's now out to the 25 to start if you touch back.
Oh, right. Like if it's a touchback, they start at the 25-yard line instead.
Yeah, and I don't know if it. I mean, I don't know if there's gonna be more touchbacks. I just personally don't think that nothing's gonna change. I don't think anything changed.
We're gonna see more people try to kick it short, and I guess try to get them like behind the 20 or like pooch it a little bit or whatever.
I don't see that. I see NFL coaches generally as cowards who they're more terrified that if they even give the team a chance to come out, they'll burn them for more than 25 yards. Like they in their minds think it's like, well, I don't want even a 1% chance that he'll run it back for a touchdown, so I'm just going to have him kick it through the end zone.
I mean, it depends on the coach, and then it depends on who you got kicking it off, I guess, and if you feel comfortable with
him. Yeah, I'm mostly talking on a macro level. But, yeah, I think, yeah, it's going to depend on the coach. I think we'll see a couple times, maybe, but no. I don't know if we can really claim everyone here as a – we have special teams aces, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we have aces, but you know, Quinn definitely made it a point of emphasis to go out and get some, you know, quality special teams players.
But that's mostly, so. I think, on the returning teams. I don't know. Does he have some on, like, you know, defending against those returns?
Well, I know Bostic is known as a special teams linebacker.
Right.
I always forget how to pronounce his name. I'm a jerk, but the guy from Cleveland.
Oh, Badamasi?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know he plays on the cover teams, so.
Well, Detroit was 13th last year in S&P, not S&P Plus, in DVOA for special teams.
Then we got Tahir Whitehead as our ace, I would say.
That's true.
John Wendling used to be our ace.
Oh.
R.I.P.
He was
Wendling.
Also a really bad safety.
He was a terrible safety, but man, was he a special teams. He was a hellion, man.
That was back when I didn't really appreciate special teams, and I just hated John Wendling.
Let me read the second part of Tingling. He had a second question here, and since we've got you guys here and no Jeremy, what's the difference between Michigan State and Michigan? Which school is the best one? Which one has the best mascot?
Oh, my Lord. What is this question?
It's just not even a debate, in my opinion. I mean, especially when we're talking about the mascot. Well, like
Michigan doesn't have a mascot.
Exactly.
I mean, they don't have a mascot they put out on the field. I mean, Sparty is
ugliest colors known to man is corn and blue.
The helmet pattern is pretty unique, though, but no.
Yeah, the only leg up that the University of Michigan has on Michigan State is Ann Arbor is a much better place to go.
Yeah,
and
yeah, by
things
far.
Than East Lansing.
They have the academics, and sad to say, I'm actually going to U of M Dearborn this semester. Ooh. So as a Michigan State fan, it hurts a little bit. But, you know, I got to think about my career first.
I mean, I have no allegiances to either, so.
Yeah, you have no dog in the fight.
No, I really don't. Although I do know Notre Dame is going to be playing Michigan State under the lights this year, so.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
We'll have to get something together, guys.
Hasn't been fun the last few times we played them, though.
Yeah, I'm starting to get hyped about Notre Dame this year, but I'm trying not to let it out because, like, I really get burned every time I do. Next question. Big haircut.
Yeah.
What position other than quarterback could have a terrible year, whether it's injuries or bad play, that just caused the Lions to have a meltdown of a season?
Ryan?
I'm going to say cornerback.
I was going to say the same thing because, I mean, we've kind of experienced it before when we had, like, two of our slot corners were injured, Nevin Lawson and Bill Bentley, and then we had to deal with, I don't even remember the guy's name, but he was just so awful for us in the slot, and we just got burned completely by, like, every
blocking
team.
Blocking out those memories, blocking them out.
Yeah, I literally can't even remember the guy's name. He was so bad.
I'm kind of terrified of the defensive line breaking down at some point. I don't know what it is. What? Maybe I'm waiting for, like, Haloti Ngata to get injured again or something, but.
Yeah, that might be problematic. I just think that there's a lot of depth that we have at defensive line.
That's true, yeah.
At least, like, plug-and-play players. Yeah, I'm just really concerned about the corners.
Yeah, mostly, I can see that.
Mostly to Alex's point, but what about the offensive side of the ball? I would have to say running back.
We still haven't really gotten the offensive line. Like, we've got some good pieces for it, but I don't think it's there yet. Like, something breaking down could really be bad. But, yeah, I think...
I'd say wide receiver. Like, if we have Tate injured, like, I'm pretty terrified of what would happen when Stafford just has nobody that's going to get open.
Yeah, because it's like, instead of going from Stafford to... I mean, from Calvin Johnson to Tate when one's injured, now it's like Tate to Marvin Jones, then no one else.
Yeah, I think receiver probably, because I'd be pretty terrified if Golden Tate is gone and then you have Stafford trying to find, all you have is like Marvin Jones getting open and you have no receivers to get open. He's probably going to get killed again.
Yeah, just rookie late round undrafted free agents, really, right. And Lance Moore.
Well, I think that also goes to the point that Eric Ebron has to take a big step this year, too.
Yes.
Because, I mean, he might be a crutch that should any of these receivers get injured, Ebron's going to have to pick up a lot of slack. So maybe even, like, I mean, tight end could be a position that could just be an absolute disaster this year.
We're basically saying the whole offense outside of, like, yeah. I'm going to include quarterback in there because, you know, quarterbacks can get injured. And then if that goes down, the whole thing goes to
I think the question said besides quarterback, though, right?
Right, but I think the bigger point we're taking away from it is, like, there is a stack of dominoes set up here on the offense that, you know, just outside, again, just even going outside a quarterback, like, if a running back gets hurt, that whole game gets thrown out of whack. If the offensive line gets hurt, you're suddenly diving around for guards and tackles again. If a wide receiver gets hurt, you've got, like, no depth.
Yeah, I think back to my original point why I, like, my snap decision was to say running back was because we do have, like, a lot of running backs that can do, like, different kinds of things, but if one of those guys gets hurt, like, say Theo Riddick gets hurt, I don't know how good of a receiving back Amir Abdullah is, or, you know, if Amir Abdullah gets hurt, can Theo Riddick really, you know, be a three down back all the time? I mean,
he's
I feel
not.
Like that's, yeah, no. I think that's something that could be problematic, is that we have running backs that fill roles, but we don't necessarily have a running back who's kind of like a catch-all, do-it-all kind of thing. So
yeah.
I don't know how many teams can really say, like, I think a lot of teams would have the same kind of problems that we have right now, though. I mean,
right,
we really don't know what this whole roster is going to end up looking like. So we have, like, questions and concerns at nearly every position.
Right, but at the same time, like, I don't think a lot of them rely on a guy like we have Theo Riddick, who isn't, like, a guy who takes that many snaps out of the backfield, but is almost exclusively, like, a receiving running back. Like, there are some of those in the league, but there's really not too many of those guys still.
They just don't, as, like, yeah, there just aren't, yeah, there just aren't too many, like, scheme or specialist kind of guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
CB Russ has a question here. He has some propositions for a modern-day Three Stooges, and these are all sports-related people. So the three options he's giving us are Skip Bayless, Mike Florio, and Drew Sharp. That's one set.
Dear God.
Second set, Roger Goodell, Dean Blandino, and D. Smith. Who's D. Smith?
D. Smith?
He just says D, like Smith, with, like, the initial D. I don't know who that is.
All of us frantically typing. Who D. Smith is right now. I have no idea.
I'm lost. I don't know. All I see is D. Smith shares the story of her transition on VH1.
That's not what I was thinking of. I think this is an NFL person.
I know what he means. It's the executive director of the Players Association.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I had no idea. Sorry.
Is it DeMaury Smith?
DeMaury, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And the third one he gives is Jim Irsay Jones. I'm assuming these are all owners, so I'm going to assume
that's
Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
And Dan Snyder. So he's giving you an option of Three Stooges from
their media,
league executives, and owners.
Well, Skip Bayless is almost done. Once the NBA playoffs are done, Skip Bayless is leaving First Take.
But he's going to Fox. ESPN's worst hot takers don't die. They just go to Fox Sports 1 now.
And that's great, because I don't flip to those channels anyway, so you might as well be dead to me anyways.
Like, the only person that ESPN has gotten rid of that Fox hasn't thrown their hands up to greedily take was Kurt Schilling. And even then, I won't lie, I was a little surprised Fox didn't take Schilling.
Kurt Schilling finds his way onto this podcast way too often. We need to have a Kurt Schilling rule. We're not allowed to talk about Kurt Schilling anymore.
We're not allowed to talk about Kurt Schilling until he pays back Rhode Island.
Oh, God.
But no.
Okay, if I had to choose any of these for a Three Stooges remake, I would choose the owners. I think that would be too highly entertaining just to see Jerry Jones.
I think like media is a little too easy, even though I've got nothing but contempt for a few. Not these guys here. Like, I think there's other guys at Pro Football Talk I hate more than Mike Florio. But
oh, Florio's worse. Yeah, I'm going to be different and say Bayless, Florio, and Sharp. I hate Sharp. And Bayless just needs
but that's
to
that's
stop.
An easy but I'm just saying like I could see that too, but it's an easy thing. I'd rather go with the owners because the owners just make dumb decisions. Like Jerry Jones is like this weird conniving guy. Jim Irsay, you know, how much fun have we had with Jim Irsay over the last few years, which is all the dumb stuff he does. And then Dan Snyder, who's keeps his head buried in the sand,
who's helping out the city of Detroit by giving us an MLS team.
Who
Wasn't it Snyder and Gores?
No.
Dan Gilbert.
Gilbert. Oh, my God.
Same the shit. Cavs owner. The Cavs owner. Completely.
They're both Dans, right?
Right.
They're both Dans. They're interchangeable Dans.
Hold up. Gilbert puts a ton into the city, and you don't know who he is?
No, I do. I obviously just fucked up there. So
yeah, he's okay. That guy who had the Comic Sans letter to LeBron James saying that the Cavs would win a championship before LeBron James ever did.
Well, that worked out. Let's go on to the CB Russ questions. If the NFL gets rid of kickoffs in the future, where would the ball be placed? A lot of rules questions here about kickoffs.
Probably the 25.
Would they even? I'd like some events still, but I don't know what you do if you get rid of the kickoff. I really don't.
I think they should just put the ball at the 50-yard line and increase offense. I like it. Let's just put scoring through the roof. Let's let every game be like an NFL blitz game.
Let's just turn this into arena football.
I don't mind. Other question here he's got for us. If Bob Quinn is building the Lions to his liking, do you think Papa Jim's days are numbered or will succeed at getting him another contract? I'm actually going to dovetail this into another question we had from someone else. In regards to coach, couldn't find it. But I think, that was actually one thing I wanted to talk about in the podcast, and we really didn't this week. But people I know have been already eyeballing Dan Patricia. Is he the defensive coordinator for the Patriots now? Like, a lot of people have been eyeballing him and saying, like, you know, if Jim Caldwell goes out this year, Dan Patricia might come in to replace him. We'll have to save that for...
Well, yeah, he was linked... Like, right when Quinn got hired. I mean, he's been linked for a while now.
And I know he was... Cleveland looked at him for a job. I think let's talk about this again in a longer podcast, but I think, you know, like, just real quick, what do we think about, you know, is he kind of the number one shoo-in just because of the Patriots connection? Because it seems like Quinn's going after, like, Patriots guys nonstop.
Yeah, I mean, Patricia and then, McDaniels is their offensive coordinator. Those were the two guys that I thought would be linked most.
But the idea of success getting him another contract for Jim Caldwell.
No thanks.
I mean, what kind of success would Jim Caldwell have to have in order to get another contract?
I do think there is something though. Like I was reading something about just looking at the history of the West Coast offense and how. Like, the West Coast offense takes years to really implement. Like, to even just coach guys into using that system right. And the point the author was making is, like, if you tried implementing the West Coast offense today, it would never succeed because guys would just get fired too quickly in the NFL. Like, I think they were saying, like, what, the ideal time to get a quarterback up into a tailored West Coast offense is, like, 7 years or something?
What? That is nuts. That would never last.
I'll have to dig, but that's kind of the point I'm trying to make, though, is that we've gotten so fast on the coaching carousel. Is by the time a guy finally implements his system or gets the personnel he's want, he's already 2 years out the door.
Yeah, Yep. I mean, sometimes I think this is a conundrum that a lot of Tigers fans are facing right now, too, with Brad Ausmus. I mean,
well, I think the problem with Brad Ausmus is that a lot of people just thought it was a bad hire from the start. But I mean, for Jim Caldwell, I mean, some people didn't like it from the start, too. But at the same time, like, how many this is kind of the question I think a lot of NFL teams are dealing with. How many years do you give a coach before you give in to the baying for blood that the fans want?
I think it's kind of like an interesting scenario with Caldwell, though, is because a lot of people thought that the talent was here, that Schwartz wasn't just a disciplinarian. So then once Caldwell came here, he had a little bit of success. But when he faltered last year, everybody just wanted his head because they weren't getting the results out of the players that they thought should be winning games and like going to the playoffs and winning playoff games.
But the talent argument is such an old one for me. Like, I keep looking at the talent argument and it's like, you can say it's talented in comparison to Lions teams have passed, but it's still not talented enough. Like, yeah, compared to 2008, compared to 2006, 2007, these are talented Lions teams. But that's not, that doesn't mean talented enough to consistently go to the playoff and win playoff games.
Sure. I'm just kind of I'm not defending, but I'm just saying, like, I think
trying to understand it. Yeah.
The typical like mindset of like a Lions fan, the microcosm is that they watch their team. I don't think they watch a whole lot of other teams or how they operate or what kind of talent other teams have, other than that they know that their teams are more talented than the Lions teams are. So once they've experienced having like guys like Stafford and Johnson and, you know, Sue and whatnot, and these, you know, very talented players, like I said, it doesn't compare to what we had or what the Lions had of yesteryear. So once they see that talent on the field, they expect results. And then when they don't get results 1 year from Jim Caldwell, when he goes, you know, 7-9, all of a sudden it's, you know, off with his head.
Yeah, and
they want him out of town.
I still don't know if we can say really good with Matthew Stafford is the other thing, too. Like, I think Lions fans vastly overrate him. I think he's a good quarterback, but he's not. I think Lions fans put him in a tier above where he should be.
That's the thing, though, is that, like, I think that goes back to the same conversation we were just having about, like, Lions quarterbacks of yesteryear.
Yeah.
Compare that to Matthew Stafford. You know, we used to have saltine crackers back there, but now we're all impressed because we think we have a Ritz.
You got Carr's table water and something. You're putting nice cheeses on it. Let's do last question from CB Russ and we'll move on to some other people. Should the WWE pursue buying UFC?
No.
What do you think about the fact that the UFC is even up for sale at this point? Because, Alex, you watch a lot of UFC.
I do. Well, Dana White completely denied that it's up for sale, right?
I think so, but do you trust anything that comes out of Dana White's filthy mouth at this point?
That no-necked bastard? I don't know.
Like, everything that comes out of Dana White's mouth is just hyper-defensive. Like, he does not, like, could you imagine if Dana White was running an actual sports league? And I am totally shading the UFC by saying that, but, like, could you imagine Dana White if he was, like, the commissioner of the NHL? Doing the kind of stuff that Dana White does.
No, like the only program, the only organization that he is fit to run, and I don't even know if he's even fit to run UFC though, is UFC. Because...
But I mean, he's that's kind of the vein he's in, fighting promoter. But yeah, right. Even like some more, I think even most boxing promoters are more presidential than Dana White's stupid mouth.
Yeah, back to the original question, though. I don't see how the WWE buying out UFC would even work. Like, are they going to, like, script UFC or something?
Well, this is what CB Russ says. Both have an established pay-per-view platform and a loyal fan base. Seems to me a UFC fighter can make the transition to WWE after their career ends. I think that's
it's that easy of a transition.
No, it's not.
No, that's not. I would think a lot of UFC people would have a much tougher time transitioning to wrestling.
Well,
than
I think
people would assume.
I think that would just turn a lot of the UFC people off because their whole commitment to their sport is basically like because you got to remember UFC's beginning too was like a weird freak shy sideshow where anyone could come in and fight. Like
yeah.
they've tried really hard to say no, this isn't scripted. This is all real. And even now, like, they still have to fight off notions that some of the stuff gets rigged.
Yeah, so, like, you've heard it from the Beast incarnate himself, Brock Lesnar. He said that, like, the WWE was, like, the hardest years of his life, and, like, he had so many back problems with WWE, and that's why he's kind of like a part-timer right now. So I think that, yeah, like, the UFC guys, I don't think it's going to be that easy of a transition.
But, if they want, but just in terms of just pure ownership, like, turning it, let's take transition out of this equation entirely. Just even the owner, the idea that WWE would have a hand in it, I think would turn some fighting people off. Just like, you know, they tried to run XFL as an actual sports league and people just gave them a stink eye because of it.
The WWE wants absolutely nothing to do with the UFC, so let's just put that out there. The WWE does not see UFC as their competition. So they would have no reason to acquire them or their talent.
This would be
so,
like, when they tried to do the XFL. This would be them trying to diversify into another sport. And I think I don't think they would want to do another XFL.
No, they sell two completely different products. I think it's interesting what you brought up, Chris, is that some people, you know, are still maybe under the notion that some UFC might be scripted just because of the way some of the fights happen. But I don't know. I think it'll be super interesting because Lesnar was that kind of athlete. We're getting back to the transition thing, but Lesnar was such an athlete who, like, dominated at even, like, the collegiate level at, like, you know, amateur mat wrestling.
He was good everywhere.
He's just a freak of nature. And then,
if
you know,
he hadn't got injured in that motorcycle accident, I guarantee you he's probably playing in the NFL for at least, like, 3 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's just like a freak athlete, but it's going to be super interesting if CM Punk or Phil Brooks, whatever you want to call him, if he ever actually makes, you know, the trip to the octagon and actually has a fight. I mean, that'll be the most interesting, I think, dynamic between, like, UFC and WWE, because he's just, like, he looks like a normal guy.
A lot of people keep thinking, like, back when Conor McGregor, by the way, Alex, I haven't kept up with this. Is Conor McGregor fighting now or not?
God, he didn't travel with the UFC, so he got kicked off that card. And I think he retracted his statement that he wanted to retire, so I think he's still technically
fighting. But they're still feuding. Like, he's still off the UFC
200
card.
They just don't
have
a match for him right now, but he's still with the UFC, I'm pretty sure.
But, like, I think there is some potential of other people going from UFC to WWE. It's just, you know, it's a hard transition, though. Brock Lesnar made it look easy because he's just, as you say, Ryan, a freak athlete. Like, there's nothing, like, there's probably only a few sports I think Brock Lesnar could not play, just because he is just so just crazy, you look at him. But the idea, but I want to go back to the original idea of UFC selling itself. And again, like, I've got to realize what that, if UFC is selling itself, and again, putting aside Dana White's dumb remarks for a bit, if they are selling themselves, that's got to be really disappointing for UFC. Because these guys who have been owning them right now, who are they? They're like brothers, Alex. I'm trying to remember their names off the top of my head.
Who, UFC?
Yeah, the UFC owners, the brothers.
The Silvas or something?
Yeah, the Silvas. Just, you know, they kind of made UFC into what it was today. But if they're selling, like, they're basically saying this is as far as we can get this to go. And that for a sport that had ambitions to be bigger than football has got to be really depressing.
Yeah, I truly don't know what's going on with them. I don't think they're going to be sold anytime soon, but we'll see.
Yeah. Let's go down here. GV42 asks, search your souls, boys. Who is your favorite player and why?
Favorite Lions player?
He just says favorite player.
Whew. Favorite Lions player, I would say Golden Tate. And then if we're going NFL, I like Le'Veon Bell a lot.
Ryan?
Chris, go ahead. I don't have an answer.
I don't have favorite players. Like, I am obviously fascinated with what Gronk is at this point. I think I have to go with him at this point, although I'm kind of waiting for the shoe to drop and Gronk just to do a bad thing finally. And then suddenly I can't be a fan anymore.
Like, kill a man?
Yeah, or have, like, some sexual assault allegation or something. Just, it just one of those things that you just look at Gronk as like, you're really fun because you haven't had any of these problematic things, but you're just waiting for something like that to happen. And that's unfair. That's unfair to Gronk.
Every offseason night.
What? You know what, though? Gronk reminds me, and I don't mean this as like disrespectful or anything, but he reminds me of Lenny from Mice and Men.
That's a nice literary reference there. Bravo. I like
because
it.
I don't think he would intentionally ever try to hurt anybody.
No, but
so maybe I think the only way that Gronk ever gets in trouble is that he's having one of these extravagant parties and like somebody ends up trying to like make some allegations that, you know, something happened.
Or he just he's drunk
that's
and just
trying to keep him in check.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's go on. More questions. We're kind of running out of time despite the smaller podcast this week.
Real quick, though, my favorite Lions player is Aaron Donald.
Get the
Joseph R. Sweeney 5 asks, does Bob Quinn hum The Reigns of Castamere before he fires someone?
I love it. I hope so.
Okay. Out of the three summer holidays, which one is your favorite? Memorial Day, 4th of July, or Labor Day?
4th of July, definitely.
I'm all about rights for the workers and the people and the people's revolution, so give me Labor Day.
Wait, I missed the question. What was it?
Your favorite summer holiday, Memorial Day, 4th of July, or...
Favorite summer holiday has to be Father's Day.
That wasn't one of the options. But we'll let you have it.
My day is going to be Father's Day. Let me tell you why. Because it's so awesome to see how disappointed dads are when when the kid or the mom ends up getting them some like lame ass shirt from TJ Maxx or like some awful pair of like not even a pair, but when they get them like a pack of like six tube socks from like Marshalls.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. And it's always after Mother's Day too, so they're always getting the leftovers.
Right. I mean, Father's Day is so... Fathers are so marginalized, but it's whatever.
Hey,
that's why I love Father's
Day.
Before
we move on to the next question, I think Ryan has an important breakfast question for us.
Oh, yes. I came
what
up
is
with
this breakfast
a great
question. Let's hear it.
It's a breakfast question, and hopefully it's going to draw more battle lines when it comes to food and Pride of Detroit. But three major bread options, not bread options, but just like... Dough-y
well, hold
products.
On. Before we get to this, I do want to announce. God. I forgot. I had switched. Team sub is no longer a thing. I am now team burrito. I'm trying to improve my standard.
This is ridiculous.
That's not
this
a
is ridiculous.
No. You can't choose team burrito. What
yes, I can.
Specifically said pizza, wings, or subs.
Well, you know what? I'm changing the rules. Anyway, go on, Ryan.
You can't
what?
Change the rules.
Yes,
Chris.
I can. I run this podcast.
Ryan,
let's hear the division. I already know some of these, so go ahead.
Three options at the breakfast table, either pancakes, French toast, or waffles.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to go like biscuits, English muffins, and like bagels or something. So
ooh, that's such a boring
we're not
question.
Southerners like you are.
Yeah.
A bagel is not Southern.
Okay, but you said biscuits.
A bagel?
A bagel. So what was it? French toast, pancakes, and waffles?
Yes.
Alex?
Ah, oh, man. Like, me and Ryan already went through this, and it's really tough for me, but I think I would go, God, I don't know. Like, my mom makes the best French toast, and I want to say French toast.
Another reason why fathers are always marginalized.
French toast is definitely, like, probably third on the list for me. But you know what? I'm going to go with waffles, because you can't have chicken and waffles without waffles.
Chris, that's a great answer.
Yeah,
because I'm a waffle man myself.
Yeah.
All the ways you can dress up waffles, the Belgian waffle. Like, how excited are you when you go to a hotel and you see the continental breakfast and they have a waffle maker? You can put fruit on them. You can put syrup on them. You can do all types of things.
You can do that
with
pancakes, too.
Yeah,
you can,
oh, but pancakes are so...
Well, here's the thing. Like, I mean, I grew up, my mom used to make, like, really big, fluffy pancakes. Like, really thick pancakes. But everywhere else I've gone, they're, like... really thin and floppy and just like I'm just not into them. So yeah, I've just always liked waffles. And you know, once you graduate beyond like Eggos, you realize, as you're saying, Ryan, how just ubiquitous how useful the waffle is.
It really is. And the other thing about pancakes is that they are way too absorbent. They yes. like suck up whatever you put on them way too quick, so you have to eat it too
fast.
But
that's why I liked when my mom used to make the thick pancakes.
Right.
But that sure. that mm-hmm. spoiled me to pancakes elsewhere, because if I just have a pancake elsewhere, I'm just like, what is this? This is awful.
Shout out to all the mothers who make breakfast for their little boys.
Yeah, shout out to moms who make breakfast.
Yeah, there's not a bad answer for me, honestly.
I'm definitely going waffles, though, because, again, chicken and waffles, which I guess, like, there was a former Lion. I need to look up his name again. There was a former Lion who opened a chicken and waffles restaurant.
Ron Bartel.
Ron Bartel, yeah. He actually, he was in, like, the Freep top 50 restaurants or something.
Yep, my buddy's coming over from Philly, and we're going
to
visit there.
I need to go up there sometime, because I've seen the pictures. He's got, like, a red waffle with chicken, and it just, it all looks amazing.
Let us know in the comment section what your allegiance is.
Team Waffle. All right. Wraith asks, which quarterback gets backup? Do you think that if Rudock puts on a good offseason and preseason, he will become backup? No.
I think he's going to be the starter.
Not going to do it. Not going to do it.
I think the backup quarterback position will go to
John C.
UFC 198, 199.